not seen the light of Islam yet. We should use modern means to communicate Islam to those who have not learned about Islam yet. We must communicate to them that Islam is not a religion of terror, rather it's a religion of peace, and by peaceful means, meaning through internet, through internet or through conversing with others, and by teaching others that we should convey Islam and the message of the messenger, peace be upon him.
When I was born, the first words that I had heard were the words of Allah being whispered through my ear. And as I felt Allah's power in my soul, that day Islam took me in its fold.
The remarkable aspects of Islamic unity should foster solidarity among Muslim peoples and states. Today, Muslims need unity among them more than any other time. The Islamic world is facing different foreign and local conspiracies when they decided to be united. They can show their power as happened in Gaza, and the lots of other pictures they're not forgotten. It's Hujjat al-Islam Bharati in continuance of his speech.
We were talking about Islamic unity and the ways of achieving Islamic unity. Now we want to talk about the practical influences and impacts of unity, especially in this world, in this contemporary world. You know, some of the incidents in this contemporary world brings for us a better and a more clear evidence of necessity of unity, and sometimes brings for us some evidences of the impact of unity itself. For example, in Gaza war, if there was not unity inside the population of Gaza, they never could stop in front of the army of Israel, Israeli army. They resisted 22 days in front of one of the most powerful armies of the Middle East. You know, even there was no government, there was no army in Gaza. None of Islamic states entered the war to fight Israeli army. Only people, only resistance militias, Hamas militias. They are not organized as an army. They don't have weapons. They don't have army. They could stop Israel for 3 weeks and more. Israelis had missiles, had fighters, bombers, radars, and even support of superpowers, and by how support of some international organizations, but people of Gaza could resist toward Israel. This was not possible. Even you could not imagine it 10 years ago, 20 years ago, 30 years ago, when Israel attacked the Islamic world, all of Arab armies, they tried to stop Israel in wars of 6 days. They were not able. They failed. And Israel attacked many Arab and Islamic countries in one time, in one moment, even destroyed their airplanes in their airports, in their air bases. So what happened? What was changed which made people powerful and daring to resist in front of Israel? And Israel now is more powerful than that time, than the year of 1967, or later. Israel is now more powerful. And people of this time in Gaza even don't have armies backing them. What happened? Only unity of this population. This small population of Gaza, 1.5 million, all of them were unified. Even they sustained martyrs or casualties or injuries or destroying of houses, lack of water, lack of electricity, lack of food, lack of medicine, all of these problems. And the worst of that, lack of support from their own Muslim brothers and sisters in Islamic world. But by anyhow, they were able to resist. Even their Palestinian organizations, a lot of them, they didn't support people of Gaza, but they were able, despite all of these, to resist.
La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. There's no God but Allah.
Another example, another case, Hezbollah of Lebanon. Also, Hezbollah of Lebanon resisted Israel in the war of 33 days. Also, there was no regime, no army, no official, no organization supporting them. But they win the battle. Why? Because they had unity among their nation, among their people. So this is a kind of regulation, a kind of law in the nature, in the history, that if a nation is unified, if a group of people are unified, and they know what they want, and their goal is clear for them, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants them unity, grants them victory, grants them success. So these are some of the examples which we witnessed in our life. These are very new. These are very fresh. They are evidences for us. They are proofs for us. They show in this time, if the big ummah, big nation of Islam is unified, how much could be the achievements and the results of this unity. Unity is secret of victory and secret of progress. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is inviting us to be unified and says, إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ إِخْوَةً. All of the faithful people are like brothers to each other. You should be like brothers to each other.
La ilaha illallah Muhammadu Rasulullah. There's no God but Allah.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Quran that one of the biggest and the greatest grants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to you Muslims is unity. وَذْكُرُوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكُمْ إِذْ كُنْتُمْ أَعْدَاءً فَأَلَّفَ بَيْنَ قُلُوبِكُمْ. Mention, please mention the bestowment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon you. وَذْكُرُوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكُمْ إِذْ كُنْتُمْ أَعْدَاءً. You Muslims, before Islam, were enemies to each other. Different nations, different tribes, different people, hostile people to each other, hating each other. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala changed you and made you. إِذْ كُنْتُمْ أَعْدَاءً فَأَلَّفَ بَيْنَ قُلُوبِكُمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made your hearts close to each other, made a kind of solidarity, sympathy, and integration between you. فَأَلَّفَ بَيْنَ قُلُوبِكُمْ وَكُنْتُمْ عَلَى شَفَى حُفْرَةٍ مِّنَ النَّارِ فَأَنْقَذَكُمْ مِّنْهَا. Before Islam, without Islam, you were very close to fall to the hell, to misery, to problems. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala أَنْقَذَكُمْ مِّنْهَا, saved you from this, rescued you from falling in this hell and in this misery. So this is a bestowment in Quranic view, in Quranic vision. Unity is the best and the greatest bestowment and grant from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to us. So we should keep it, we should maintain it, we should know it, we should deserve it. So it continues. And inshallah, in future, we also continue having this prosperity and this bestowment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And don't make enemies or satans to take from us this unity and this bestowment Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted to us. We should be people who deserve this bestowment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In this situation, in this moment, in this decisive turn of history, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we pray to him, we demand him that he maintains for us this glory, this bestowment, and this prosperity, and in this contemporary world, again, gives us dignity and glory amongst the nations. And inshallah, this supplication and this prayer is accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And also you, my dear brothers and sisters, ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us this. And all of you say Amen in this decisive moment. Oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we ask you, because of glory of your prophet, because you are giving us this prophet, and you told us, if you follow my prophet, I will give you dignity of this life and afterlife. Oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we try to be loyal to this prophet, and also you fulfill and give us what you promised us in this very important moment. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Salli ala Allahumma salli ala salli ala salli ala nabiyyi salli ala habibina beloved nabi. How long will it be till I see the sun rise in your eyes?
Allah the Great says, and thus we have made you a medium nation that you may be the bearers of witness to the people, and that the apostle may be a bearer to witness to you. Chapter Baqarah, verse 143. As religious scholar mentioned before, the Islamic world enjoys different resources and potential in terms of raw materials. It's generally blessed. There are as many as 57 independent Muslim states, which are members of various international organizations. Imagine the unity of all parts of this group. No power can encounter it. All of the Muslims have this aim, and God willing, they will achieve. Thank you, dear listeners. That was another program of the Call of Unity. We try to put our best foot forward to make a small picture of the unity among Muslim worlds. We all hope to see the real picture of united Islam all over the world. We hope and we can make it. Thank you and happy time on the celebration of the Prophet Muhammad's birthday. Allah the Almighty bless you all and goodbye.
If you ask me, why do I love you? No matter where you are, we are the greatest ummah with the beating of our hearts. We are Muslims. La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. There's no God but Allah. La ilaha illallah Muhammad al-Mustafa. Muhammad is his messenger.
Unemployment in the Gaza Strip. How's your work? What have you accomplished? Not much. We stopped the construction of the house because of the construction materials crisis in the Gaza Strip. There are no construction materials available, no cement, no steel, and no whitewash. Most construction materials stopped entering the Strip due to the Egyptian army's military operations in the Sinai. In addition, they have already destroyed most of the tunnels between Egypt and Gaza, through which all materials used to enter. Now they have disappeared from the local market. On the other hand, Israel has been blocking all crossings to the Gaza Strip for 7 years.
When we decided to expose the problem of unemployment in the Gaza Strip, we were confused about a starting point, but we met with an informative colleague, Mr. Atif Isa, who paved the way for us. He told us about his suffering over 7 years in building his dream house, which is still under construction at the moment. According to his plan, it was supposed to be done 5 years ago.
According to my house plan, the house is supposed to be ready now, and I would have moved into it. But as you can see, it seems to be ready from the outside, but work still needs to be done. These days, I am supposed to have at least 5 or 6 teams working at the same time. These teams provide job opportunities to about 30 or 40 workers. That means there are 30 to 40 families that used to have income, but not anymore because I have stopped the building of my house. I'm the head of a family of 6 people. All I want is a job opportunity, and everything will go fine with me. I wish other workers could work too, like the old days of working in a team. There were supposed to be more than 20 workers working on this scaffolding. However, there are only 2 or 3 people because of the shortage in construction materials. Their being here is inconsistent. As you can see, no improvements seem to occur.
These 2 workers are the only ones among over 30 who continued working here to make a living. Ibrahim, Raed's colleague and cousin, is the only one who remained to work with him, doing some modest jobs, despite knowing very well that he's not the right person in the right place.
I have learned the Holy Quran by heart and studied at private schools. Then I pursued my study in Malaysia at East Asia University. My major was the Prophet's Hadiths. After that, I came back to Gaza. As you can see, I work in construction. We have no chance to work in related fields. The crossings are blocked, and there aren't any projects or development. There is nothing. There are approximately 35,000 unemployed graduates. Because of the blockade, this number has risen in light of the rapid increase in the number of graduates from the Palestinian and Arab universities. This means that there is a large number of graduates per year. More than 10,000 graduates joined the previous number of the unemployed because of the lack of opportunities.
Hamza Hassan from the beach refugee camp has joined the army of the unemployed after 4 years of study in the English literature department at the Faculty of Arts. 2 years after graduation, he lives a conflict between dreaming of a certificate and looking for any job, even if it's not related to his field of study.
I graduated from university after 4 years of studying English literature. I and most of the other young people were surprised with the fact that there are no work opportunities. Even if one does not want to work in one's field of study, it is hopeless. Youth also suffer from boredom. Young people spend some time out, just like myself. We spend most of our time in having food, sleeping, and hanging out.
The Gaza Strip is surrounded by 7 crossings. The Rafah crossing is the only one connecting the Gaza Strip with an Arab country, Egypt. But the other 6 crossings are fully controlled by the Israeli occupation, and most of them are completely blocked most of the time. The only commercial crossing left partially open is the Kerem Shalom crossing. It is controlled by the Israeli soldiers' mood.
The needs of the Gaza Strip exceed 800 trucks a day. Meanwhile, the Israeli occupation prevents more than 480 to 500 trucks from entering Gaza. These goods are very important for the development of the Palestinian economy and include all raw materials, machinery, and equipment required for the development of the economy or solving the problems of production lines. I am Majid Abdul Hafiz Abu Salim. I own a sewing factory that produces bags. This bag factory has stopped working for a long time because of the siege and the occupation. This is a leather sewing machine that we use in producing leather bags. All these machines as well. As you see, they are all off. There were 12 to 15 workers. However, after the blockade, the factory is stopped. All the workers have lost their jobs and spend their time at home or in hanging out. I used to work as a tailor. I haven't worked for almost 9 years now because of the siege, the blockade, and the Israeli restrictions. I have 6 daughters, 3 sons, and there's my wife and I. I cannot fulfill their needs. We're currently living by help and aid. Our life is very difficult, and the unemployment rate has become great. When school started, I didn't buy new bags, clothes, or anything for my kids because I was not ready to buy them their school needs and let them suffer hunger later. Thank God I'm not renting my house. May Allah help those who rent. I am not renting, though I suffer very much.
الله يساعد المتأجرين دور يعني أنا داري مش متأجرها ووضعي كئيب جدا جدا
أنا سجين وبعد ساكن بيت إيجار.
I am a deported prisoner and I am renting a house. Currently my family lives by relief supplies and aid. There isn't a job opportunity and the situation is really difficult. As you see, I have 6 kids. Come in please. This is one of my 6 kids. Please come in. This is Muhammad. He is sick. What does he suffer from? He has convulsions, epilepsy, mental retardation, and speech difficulties. If he walks along the street, he wouldn't know where he is going. Every time he goes out by himself, I go bring him from a different place.
My sister-in-law has got rid of this closet, and I thought of removing my kids' clothes into it instead of being on the floor. All the kids' clothes are damaged. If my husband had a job with a monthly income of $200, not $400, it would be enough to pay for the owner of the house the first month. And the next month, we could buy a closet like most of the people. We could buy a bed for ourselves. We had a bed and a closet when we got married, but we sold them to afford the housing rent because the house owners would kick us out. They're not tolerant, and they would ask for their money. The house does not have appropriate doors or windows, but we had no choice.
I tried to get a job. I worked as a taxi driver, but it wasn't helping because of the fuel crisis. And if you want to do something else, it must be at the expense of your health. I used to work in construction, but construction has stopped in the strip. The crossings are all blocked, and the situation is very bad. The construction materials are very expensive and rare. I am sick and can't do tiring work. In winter, water reaches up to this level. Even when I tried to make a hole in the wall to let the water out, some of the street water started flooding and its level was higher than the kids' knees. We used to fill 6 or 7 buckets with water to get rid of it. People like winter, but I don't. I don't like it because it is tiring. This is our kitchen. The walls are cracked because of the rocket shelling during the war.
The Shaban's house is already cracked by poverty and also by the missiles of the 2 wars on Gaza, the 2008-2009 war and the late 2012 war. The Israeli rockets accurately hit targets other than the Shaban's house. They destroyed nearly 1,000 of a total of 4,000 industrial facilities. Many of the rest have completely stopped working due to the blockade imposed on the Gaza Strip since
mid-2007.
This factory used to work in concrete in the Gaza Strip. It provided job opportunities to about 70 workers. During the pre-war period, we had 17 mixing vehicles and 7 concrete pumps. 10 of these vehicles were destroyed and only 7 remained. In spite of this, I want to bring this factory to life again to make a living. I want to contribute to the reconstruction of Gaza, but now there are small quantities of goods entering Gaza. More than 3,900 factories have stopped either completely or partly as a result of the prevention of raw materials and production requirements from coming in. Moreover, the Israeli occupation bombed many industrial facilities during the last two wars on the Strip. Most of the destroyed institutions started having problems with any production process. This made more than 45,000 workers, only in the field of production and industry, lose their jobs, which has led to an increase in unemployment.
With the siege tightening and factories systematically destroyed by the Israeli occupation, Gazans are tempted to break the siege through digging underground tunnels along the border with Egypt to bring in their daily needs of food and medications, as well as raw materials that may contribute to operating some industrial facilities in one way or another.
Many industrial institutions and laborers were working when some of the materials were allowed in through the tunnels. This softened the effects of the siege on the Strip. These tunnels, or the ground crossings as we call them, provided job opportunities to 35,000 workers in the construction sector and other industrial sectors through the entry of raw materials. My basic profession is sewing. As you know, sewing is not common now. We used to have orders from the north of Palestine. The crossings are blocked now, and there are no exchanges with Israel. In general, the sewing profession has stopped now, and I came to Rafah. In Rafah, there were opportunities and tunnels. Our area of concentration was construction materials, and especially gravel. Lately, transporting gravel has become difficult, so we started transporting goods. Merchants started providing us with goods through the tunnels. We rebuilt the factory. It used to give jobs to 70 employees. Now we are running one factory with one operational capacity. There used to be 70 people, but now there are only 30.
Tunnels became a lifeline for the residents of the Gaza Strip. The economy began to recover, and unemployment rates were significantly reduced, either because of work in the tunnels or the supply of goods, especially with thousands of tons of cement, steel, and gravel arriving daily. All of that led to dozens of large enterprises, including the reconstruction of Gaza after the Israeli destruction of thousands of houses and public facilities. But all of these improvements have stopped with the demolition of the tunnels. Gaza became besieged again, causing the unemployment rates to increase.
There is destruction in tunnels. Every day, a cement or steel tunnel is destroyed. The tunnel line requires at least 20 workers. It may be more, but there are not less than 20. The Egyptians said they have destroyed 350 tunnels. This is what has been destroyed. We don't know whether they have destroyed the rest or not. They have demolished 300 or 360 tunnels, each requiring 20 workers. This means that a total of about 6,000 workers are now unemployed. Relying on tunnels was not on the agenda of the Palestinians. This means bringing in food, clothes, and medication through the tunnels. But the phenomenon was forced on the Gazans, leaving them with no choice. Thus began the circle of providing jobs to the deprived in construction and production factories because of the Israeli restrictions. When Egyptian security takes an action in this regard, along with not allowing these materials to officially enter the Strip, the problem of unemployment will become worse. I was doing well, and now I've got 30 workers. However, if tunnels remain blocked, I will reduce the number to half because there are no goods coming in. I recently divided the workers into two groups. Each works for 15 days. If the situation remains the same, I may lay off 15 workers, and I will cause the destruction of 15 families. I was working for a short period of time. Now I have stopped because there is no cement. I have 13 people in my house. Four of my sons are unemployed. They are all illiterate. No one else is employed. I have to take care of my daughters, my wife, and my daughters-in-law. The situation used to be different. There were job opportunities, and life went on. We used to work and make a living for the family. Life was better. Nowadays, the situation is different because there are no goods or cement, the crossings are blocked, and there is a siege imposed. I don't use the work equipment I have, and I have to afford the living expenses of 13 people.
Everybody is unemployed. There is no chance for construction workers, laborers, and contractors. They're all unemployed. Where will they find jobs? Even employees are complaining about the hard situation. If you intend to borrow some money from an employee, he will tell that his salary is hardly enough for him and his children. For those who receive salaries at the end of the month, they keep telling that it's not enough. An employee's salary is $400. Is it enough? The doctor with the certificate does not find work, as well as the engineer. Are there any projects or hospitals that provide work chances? Let new factories open to help workers find a chance. Is there electricity for factory work? If there were factories and construction projects, no one would need anyone else. We wouldn't need anything from the Israeli occupation, and no one would starve, because when a worker gets a chance, sometimes it's going to be much better than an employee's.
أنا كان في مشروع تطوير البحر وبالتالي توسع.
There was a project to develop the beach, thus expanding the street by the beach, but the work stopped. Look at this sidewalk. They are supposed to be paving another lane of the street. During the time I spent heading to the office or going home, I used to see many machines, engineers, and laborers working on the project. However, they aren't working anymore due to the lack of construction materials and fuel. This caused the company to stop the development of the street. In addition, many of the workers and engineers who used to work on the project stopped and became a part of the unemployed sector that already existed in the Gaza Strip.
The continuous closure of tunnels and the border crossings does not only exacerbate the high rates of unemployment, it also severely affects the performance of factories, the supply, the local market with many essential products.
After stopping our work and having it ruined, you can see that we are hunting for work and making a wallet or repairing a bag, just like that. During the past 6 months, we noticed a slowdown in the sectors of clothes and sewing. That happened because of the lack of activation. You can add to this the productive and service sectors. They would be severely affected, and we would go back to the time, before 3 or 4 years ago, when there was great unemployment, a lack of goods and materials needed daily, and a growing crisis in many sectors that would unfortunately worsen the humanitarian and social problems in the Gaza Strip. I was affected anyway. I cannot even fulfill the requirements of my customers or serve their interests. I pack gravel, but I can't do the same with cement. However, there is no cement, and when it is available, I can work with other workers. You can see that nobody works. Cars do not work, or employees either. Some workers come here seeking a chance at work, but I tell them there are no construction materials. If you can bring me any materials in the local market, I am ready to give you a chance at work. I've got the money and the intention. I am also in a hurry. I need to move to my new house. Today we ordered the bricks. The factory said that the bricks are not ready because there is no cement. I have been asking a blacksmith to build me a stair rod. The blacksmith agrees to make me one, but says we should agree on something first. He asks for extra money. When I ask about the reason, he says because there is no steel.
Freezing of small or large projects, the obstruction of industrial facilities, and the increase of the unemployment rate to more than 40% are all considered disasters that threaten to affect a wide range of the population of the Gaza Strip.
I and my sister-in-law were in the kitchen. My son was standing here, and my sister-in-law's sons were there. I was preparing milk for my son, and he was catching my clothes crying. The boiling pan slipped from my hand and burnt it. I should have gone to the hospital, but I couldn't afford it. I didn't have $1 to go to the hospital. I had a bacterium in the blood, and the doctor told me that this infection was caused by a polluted environment. I told him about the condition of our house, and during winter, my house becomes full of water. He said that was the reason. I recently had some analysis and found that I have problems in my chest. The doctor said I need medical treatment, and the prescription contained only two pills that cost $30, and I can't afford buying one. How would I buy those pills? The doctor gave it to me for free once because he knows about my situation. He also treats my patient son and follows his case. He paid for the medication that time, but how would I afford paying for the rest? How can I buy two pills for $30?
The Palestinians are steadfast and patient people. They have been suffering, but they are aware that the main reason is the Zionist occupation. The occupation has been trying to suppress the Palestinians, but we say that they are patient, steadfast, and will continue to be so. They will keep fighting the occupier with their steadfastness and an honorable attitude opposing these conspiracies.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. This is the Heart of Life Pounding. IRIB English Radio.
A nurse testified before a Georgia Senate study committee in September that she was attacked by a patient so severely last spring she landed in the ER of her own hospital. Dear listeners, this was part of an article written jointly by Bram Sabel Smith and Andy Miller researchers. This article is published under the heading U.S. Hospital Workers Report Rising Violence Throughout Pandemic. Stay tuned for more. In the earliest days of the pandemic, nightly celebrations lauded the bravery of frontline healthcare workers. 18 months later, those same workers say they are experiencing an alarming rise in violence in the workplaces. A nurse testified before a Georgia Senate study committee in September that she was attacked by a patient so severely last spring she landed in the ER of her own hospital. At Research Medical Center in Kansas City, Missouri, security was called to the COVID unit, said nurse Jen Caldwell, when a visitor aggressively yelled at their nursing staff about the condition of his wife, who was a patient. In Missouri, a tripling of physical assaults against nurses prompted Cox Medical Center Branson to issue panic buttons that can be worn on employees' identification badges. Hospital executives were already attuned to workplace violence before the pandemic struck, but the stresses from COVID have exacerbated the problem, they say, prompting increased security, de-escalation training, and pleas for civility. And while many hospitals work to address the issue on their own, nurses and other workers are pushing federal legislation to create enforceable standards nationwide. Paul Sarnes, an executive at Virtua Health in New Jersey and president of the International Association for Healthcare Security and Safety, said many studies show healthcare workers are much more likely to be victims of aggravated assault than workers in many other industries. Federal data shows health workers faced 73% of all non-fatal injuries from workplace violence in the U.S. in 2018. It's too early to have comprehensive stats from the pandemic. Even so, Michelle Wallace, chief nursing officer at Grady Health System in Georgia, said the violence is likely even higher because many victims of patient assaults don't report them. We say this is part of our job, said Wallace, who advocates for more reporting. Caldwell said she had been a nurse for less than 3 months the first time she was assaulted at work. A patient spit at her. In the 4 years since, she estimated she hasn't gone more than 3 months without being verbally or physically assaulted. Caldwell said, I wouldn't say that it's expected, but it is accepted. We have a lot of people with mental health issues that come through our doors. Jackie Gatz, Vice President of Safety and Preparedness for the Missouri Hospital Association, said a lack of behavioral health resources can spur violence as patients seek treatment for mental health issues and substance use disorders in ERs. Life can also spill inside to the hospital, with violent episodes that began outside continuing inside or the presence of law enforcement officers escalating tensions. February 2021 reports from National Nurses United, a union in which both Kamara and Caldwell are representatives, offers another possible factor. Staffing levels that don't allow workers sufficient time to recognize and de-escalate possibly volatile situations. COVID unit nurses also have shouldered extra responsibilities during the pandemic. Duties such as feeding patients, drawing blood, and cleaning rooms would typically be conducted by other hospital staffers, but nurses have pitched in one of those jobs to minimize the numbers of workers visiting the negative pressure rooms where COVID patients are treated. While the workload has increased, the number of patients each nurse oversees is unchanged, leaving little time to hear the concerns of visitors scared for the well-being of their loved ones, like the man who aggressively yelled at the nurses in Caldwell's unit. In September, 31% of hospital nurses surveyed by that union said they had faced workplace violence, up from 22% in March. Dr. Brice Garland, Hospital Group President of Atlanta-based Emory Healthcare, said violence has escalated as the pandemic has worn on, particularly during the latest wave of infections, hospitalizations, and deaths. Garland said frontline healthcare workers and first responders have been on the battlefield for 18 months. They are exhausted. Like the increase in violence on airplanes, at sports arenas, and school board meetings, the rising tensions inside hospitals could be a reflection of the mounting tensions outside them. William Mahoney, president of Cox Medical Center Branson, said national political anger is acted out locally, especially when staffers ask people who come into the hospital to put on a mask. Caldwell, the nurse in Kansas City, said the physical nature of COVID infections can contribute to an increase in violence. Patients in the COVID unit often have dangerously low oxygen levels. People have different political views. They are either CNN or Fox News, and they start yelling at you, screaming at you, Mahoney said. When that happens, they become confused and also extremely combative, Caldwell said. Sarnacy said the pandemic has given hospitals an opportunity to revisit their safety protocols. Limiting entry points to enable COVID screening, for example, allows hospitals to funnel visitors past security cameras. Research Medical Center recently hired additional security officers and provided de-escalation training to supplement its video surveillance, spokesperson Christine Hamel said. In Branson, Mahoney's hospital has bolstered its security staff, mounted cameras around the facility, brought in dogs. People don't really want to swing at you when there is a German Shepherd sitting there, and conducted de-escalation training in addition to the panic buttons. Some of those efforts predate the pandemic, but the COVID-19 crisis has added urgency to an industry already struggling to recruit employees and maintain adequate staffing levels. The number one question we started getting asked is, are you going to keep me safe? Mahoney said.
This is A to Z. An introduction to Islamic lifestyle. Today's lesson, Source of Evils. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the most beneficent, the most merciful. Many books and articles have been written in respect of the harmful effects of wine, including fatal effects on the nervous and digestive systems and the heart, arteries, liver, kidneys, and other organs of the body. Drinking wine, consuming alcohol, not only brings about the destruction of the hereafter, it is also detrimental for every single one of its consumers in this world. We know the physical impact that the alcoholic beverages has on its consumers. Its painful social and economic consequences and shocking statistics have been investigated by thousands of scientists and contemplative minds. However, no phrase could be found as short, yet so comprehensive, as the valuable tradition of our Prophet, which in one sentence says it all. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam the Prophet of Allah, he has said, avoid wine, which is the key of all evils. You know, when you look at those who consume alcohol, you're bound to conclude that this person, one way or the other, is going to be detrimental for the human society. We all feel that. Sometimes we express it, sometimes we don't, especially those living in the West. But we know deep down in our heart, through empirical evidence, that these people who consume alcohol, they are more dangerous for human societies than other human beings, generally speaking. Welcome back, dear listeners. Today we are discussing, in the light of a tradition, a source of all evils. Prophet Muhammad has said that drinking alcohol, consuming wine, is one of the most important and prevalent source of evil in human society. You know, just take a moment out and go onto the internet and just search vices or dangers of consuming alcohol. You would see, look at the local newspaper that you have for your city, you know, wherever you may be living in the West, where alcohol and wine and other, you know, beer and other alcoholic beverages are easily found and they're not illegal to be consumed. Just look at the local news. Even in places where it may be illegal and people are smuggling the alcohol in and consuming alcohol, look at what the aftermath of this consumption of alcohol is. I think for any sane and logical person, it is enough for him to be discouraged from consuming alcohol. Now, this is all in addition to what Islam has said. Islam has absolutely prohibited alcohol in any form and shape which is consumed to be intoxicated, right? This is in addition, we're looking at the aftermath and the effects of alcohol. Those effects and impacts on human society, on other innocent lives, on other human beings, enough in itself is enough for one to be convinced that consuming alcohol is something wrong and must be stopped. In Islamic lifestyle, consuming alcohol has no place whatsoever. Dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, thank you very much for staying with us till the end of today's episode of A to Z. Don't forget to log on to our website at parstoday.com, Call of Islam page. We leave you all in the care of Allah. Till next time, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
This is the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran's broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily from 1520 to 1620 UTC on the following frequencies. 41 meters, 7410 kilohertz for Indian subcontinent. And FM 91.5 megahertz for Tehran. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Heartbird, Eutelsat 3B, and IranSat or Badr 5, and via internet. Our internet address is parstoday.com/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details.
This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.